Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody. Today, we're going to continue June's time travel movie theme. Today's movie, I don't think I talked about what movie was next after last week. If I did, I hope I told you it was Deja Vu, because that's what I watched. So if it's not Deja Vu, I'm watching Deja Vu. No? Okay, cool. Anyways, so Deja Vu is a time travel movie. That's why we're talking about it. Directed by Tony Scott. Tony Scott, unfortunately, passed away a few years ago. He is Ridley Scott's brother. They had a production company together called Scott Tree. That they made movies together under and produced a bunch of stuff under. So just to give you a real quick breakdown of the movies that Tony Scott has directed. Top Gun, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Days of Thunder, Last Boy Scout, True Romance, Crimson Tide, The Fan, Enemy of the State, Spy Game, Man on Fire, Domino, Deja Vu, Unstoppable, The Taking of Pelham, 1, 2, 3, and then he had a lot of movies, a lot of those you probably know, under his belt. Stuff he's produced a jack ton of stuff. He's even done television shows, he did music videos, so he's done a lot of stuff. Tony Scott, that's who directed it. This movie stars Denzel Washington as an ATF agent. That's alcohol, tobacco, firearms agent, for those people who don't know. We'll get into more of what he plays, but you know Denzel Washington. I don't need to tell you who Denzel Washington is. The female lead in this movie is Paula Patton. Paula Patton is a little less well-known than most people. The other people that I guess you could say are on this list. Her most recent thing is a movie called Traffic, which comes out this year. I can't remember if it's out already or not. It came out earlier in the year, in April. It has Omar Epps in it and a lot of people in that one. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure I will watch it eventually. She was in Two Guns along with Mr. Denzel Washington. She was in Ghost Protocol with Tom Cruise. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, sorry. Can't just tell you Ghost Protocol. She's in a few things. Nothing I think you're going to be like, oh, yeah, her. She plays a really dynamic character in this particular movie, and I'll get to more of that in a little bit when we start going over the movie itself. Also in this, in a brief role, but a very pivotal role, is Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer, of course, it's Val Kilmer. I mean, he's been in so many things. Obviously, one of the biggest is movies, Top Gun. He played Iceman in that, so, you know, I want you to know about that. He was one of Joe's favorite movies, The Saint. He played Simon Templar. I'm going to say most recently is Top Gun 2, or Top Gun Maverick, as it's known. He's reprising his role as Tom Iceman Kaczynski. One of my favorite movies that he's in, he's been a lot of my favorite movies. The two that I always go back to. So his career started off in 1984, with Top Secret, which is one of my favorite comedy spoofs of all time. He was in Real Geniuses, which is a great 80s action or 80s comedy movie. He was in, of course, Top Gun, his third movie, which is pretty insane. Then he was in Willow. Then he played Jim Morrison in The Doors. He played Doc Hollywood in Tombstone. He played Elvis Presley in True Romance. Unfortunately, he was in a Batman movie. Then, of course, the ever incredible Heat. But one of my favorite movies that not many people have seen him in, there's two really. One is Spartan and the other is Stateside. Both came out in the same year. Both excellent movies. Spartan is a thriller where he plays an agent whose job is to... well, you can watch yourself. We'll go over that another time. We can probably talk about that. I don't want to go too far into that because I have, you know, other stuff to talk about. And the Stateside's a really good movie, too. It's a romantic drama film based on a true story. It's a really good movie, too. That's Val Kilmer. We all know who Val Kilmer is, especially now since I've broken that down. Next up is Adam Goldberg. Adam Goldberg, some of you may know the name. Some of you may not know the name. His probably most famous thing, I would say, that you'd be like, oh, that guy, besides Deja Vu. He's in Salt and Sea with Val Kilmer. I forgot about that. I'm trying to think of what movie would be the best for you to remember him with. Saving Private Ryan, if you remember Saving Private Ryan, he's the fast-speaking gentleman. Private Stanley Mellish is his name. He's the one that has the aggravating scene with the knife fight with the Nazi where he ends up losing and dying. Spoiler alert, I guess, if that's a thing. That might help you raise... He's been in so many things. It's kind of ridiculous. Let's see, what else will you... He's been in a bunch of stuff. I don't know what else to really give you movie-wise or television-wise. He's been in a few TV shows, nothing major. But yeah, that's Adam Goldberg. You'd know him if you saw him. Been a lot of things. Let's see, up next is Eldon Henson. Most recognizable now as being Foggy Nelson from TV or Netflix's Daredevil show, where he plays his partner in the law firm. Foggy Nelson is his name, and that. You see him in that. He was in Biggest Things. Movie wise, for me, it's Idle Hands because he plays one of the main roles in that movie. But for the purists out there, you may know him from his time on the ice with the Mighty Ducks and Mighty Ducks 1, 2, and 3. He played Fulton Reed, the heavy hitter that used to, you know, that was the everyone saw as the bully, but he was just misunderstood. And, you know, that sort of thing. So you'd know him from that. He's been in quite a few things over the years, but those would be the biggest ones. Most recently, his movie-wise, he played Pollux in The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 and 2, if you guys watch those movies. But I recommend, if you want to see his spectacular work, I would say watch Daredevil or Idle Hands, because those are the best things that he was in. Also, he was really good in Deja Vu, but we'll get that in a minute. Next is Erica Alexander. Erica Alexander is, again, a lesser-known face. If you saw her, you'd be like, oh, I remember her. She's been in a lot of TV shows. No major roles. Movie-wise, she's been in a bunch of different things. Most recently, she was in Get Out. She was the detective in that movie, which if you haven't seen the movie, shame on you. It's a fantastic movie. You should see it. It won an Oscar. That's Erica Alexander. She's been in a bunch of stuff. And then lastly on the list of people you will recognize by name and or not by face is Bruce Greenwood. Bruce Greenwood has been in a lot of things. He was in Mad Men. He played Admiral Christopher Pike in the newer Star Trek movies, the J.J. Abrams ones, where I believe he died in the second one, so he wasn't in the third one. he has been in a lot of stuff. He's done voice work. He has done so many different movies and TV shows. It's hard to actually go through the list. He's been in a lot. Bruce Greenwood. Jesus. He's good people. You'd know him if you saw him. He a lot of times plays a very asshole-ish character. Maybe that's just a typecasting thing or not, but I don't know, but he's really good in a lot of stuff. To the movie. So, this is following suit along with the rest of the movies in this month's list, as you probably have gotten already. It's a very unconventional time travel movie. This particular one sees Denzel Washington playing a special agent, Douglas Carlin, who is from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, or the ATF, as it's called. Not the ATFE, mainly because the E was added later, I guess. I don't know. So he gets called in on this explosion. Let me start at the beginning. First off, the opening of this movie is one of the most traumatic things you could see in movies. It's a ferry, a boat ferry, not like the mythical kind. That is taking a bunch of Navy personnel to a celebration in New Orleans. It's gonna be driving across the river to their party. They're going to celebrate Fat Tuesday, I believe, because it takes place on Fat Tuesday. Right after it departs with about 600 so people, a little less than I think, an explosion rocks the boat, igniting the fuel, then exploding the rest of the ferry as it's going across the water. Ending up killing 542 people, I believe, is the total count later on that you find out in the movie. It is the reason it's traumatic. You see all these kids and old people and Navy personnel, and you realize that a lot of the casualty is those people. And it's pretty eye-opening beginning of a movie. So because of the explosion, Agent Douglas Carlin is brought in. He is there to help investigate what's going on. He finds evidence that there was foul play involved. It wasn't just an accident that caused this. They find fragments from a bomb casing with wiring and a firing cap partial into it. And then, of course, they know that, and then he finds the soot from the chemicals that stuck to the underside of the bridge that was by when it exploded. And so he begins the journey into figuring this out. I forgot Jim Caviezel. I forgot to tell you he's in this movie, too. I can't believe he wasn't on my list. I thought I brought him up there. Maybe I didn't. Jim Caviezel, by the way, is tremendous in the movie, too. He's not in a whole lot. Really, the only person that's in the majority of the movie is Denzel Washington. Everybody else plays smaller roles, but they're all, really good at it. So during the investigation, he starts getting different things, different clues. He starts getting other things that are making him turn his head. He's trying to get a hold of his partner, who's supposed to be on vacation, because it's all hands on deck because of the situation. When he goes back to the office, he's given a phone number for a girl who called for him. He returns her call, leaves a voice message that comes back to play later on. He then gets a call from, a sheriff who says they found a body, that they believe was from the boat explosion. But tells him that the body was found, several minutes before the explosion actually happened. So right then, that right there is starting to make things very bizarre. But he goes back he leaves the coroner's office where he saw the autopsy of this girl named Claire Kutchever, and he's very confused by the stuff that's going on. The fact that she was found burnt, but before the wreck, before the explosion happens, goes to visit her father. Has to break the news to him that she's dead. Unfortunately, it's a very, very sad moment. His dad implants a very big, I want to say subtle, but it's not very subtle, very big, hey, I want you to remember, I know these things a lot of times go under the radar when something like this happens. I want you to remember her, and I want you to make sure this person's caught. He hands him a bunch of pictures. So then he goes over to her place where he feeds her cat. He is looking around, finds traces of blood with bloody rags and bloody gauze in the bathroom. Knowing that something's going on, she had fingers sheared off that didn't look like it was done by shrapnel from the explosion. It was definitely intentional. Again, plays into later. He sees an odd message written with those magnetic letters on the front of the refrigerator. It says, "You can save her," spelled U with the letter U instead of the word "can save her." Throws him off. He then's walking around the room. He sees she has voice messages, so he plays them, starts recording them down. A couple are from her dad, reminding her about his flight that's coming in, the fact that she missed him. There's a message from Beth, her best friend, who called to see how the date that she set her up on went, because she never called her back. During that, Claire picks up and says, "Is this a joke? You know, I'll call you back. There's someone here." And then a message plays, and it's actually the message that Denzel Washington's character, Douglas, or Doug, left on the voicemail of the woman who called for him earlier, giving him one big weird little coincidence. The girl that called for him and he called back happens to be his victim. So the plot thickens, as they say. More connections. So he then goes back to the scene to kind of look around, runs into Val Kilmer's character, who he delivers a message to about Claire's disappearance, and with Bruce Greenwood, Adam Goldberg, Eldon Henson are all there, Eric Alexander, and he explains the clues that he found about the body was found before the explosion, the fact that it looked like it was supposed to be staged like the explosion, and the fact that if you trace her phone call, she called him earlier in the day before her death, obviously. So that spurs them to then bring him into the fold of their little group in the FBI, which is a special branch that is designed to be able to basically use satellites to look back in the past using recorded footage and be able to see things that they couldn't view to because of the amount of power they needed. They can go back as far as 4 days, 6 hours, 3 minutes, 45 seconds, and 14.5 nanoseconds. But they cannot pause it, they cannot rewind it, and they cannot move forward. They have to go in time of all 4 days, 6 hours, 3 minutes, 45 seconds, and 14.5 nanoseconds. But they can rearrange and they can see anything in the available area with different camera angles. Well, this starts to seem fishy to Denzel's character, Mr. Douglas Carlin. So he is trying to figure things out. They're not telling him everything he knows this. So he wants to say that during this that she can see that they're watching her through this. Claire can see them, has a feeling that she's being watched by them. So he wants to prove that there's more to this, what they're telling him. It's not just footage. So he takes a laser pointer, points it into the screen. It disrupts the screen, shutting it down, and they have to tell him what is actually happening. What they're actually telling him is it's time. In a way, it's time travel. What they can do is they can target an area, focus energy, and then pull back and see time as far back as 4 days, 6 hours, 3 minutes, 45 seconds, and 14.5 nanoseconds. And then they can watch it forward and try to find clues of who did this to try to capture them. Well, when he does this, the laser pointer, it shuts off the system because she sees it and it freaks out the timeline, and they have to tell him this. Then he comes with this idea of what if we can push something back to the past, like an object. And they're like, it's impossible. It's too risky. He finally convinces them to send back a note to himself. So he has Val Kilmer write this note to send him down to the ferry where they know exact time when the bomber is going to be there at 4:40 a.m. And so he's going to go there. Well, they're trying to get this message sent back, because remember, they can't go back. They can only send it to what they're looking at. So they do this, but it happens to be the time where him and his partner are having an argument. He leaves. They finally push the note into the past, and his partner picks it up. When his partner picks it up, he goes down to investigate, ends up getting shot by the bomber, Jim Caviezel's character, who plays Carol Artstad, I believe his name is. He then grabs this goggles, and they're basically going to lose him when they're going to figure out what he does with the body. They follow him. There's a weird time travel chase thing. It's really cool because they have this goggle rig that can push the signal farther. So he jumps in this big Humvee and drives recklessly down the freeway, ends up driving backwards and causing all sorts of accidents. While one eye sees the past, the other eye sees the present. He ends up getting in an accident. The goggles kind of break, and so he can't see, but they can still see because the sensor's on it. So they guide him to follow Carol, Jim Caviezel's character, to where they believe they're going to find his partner. Well, they witness this partner being executed, lit on fire, and then Denzel Washington's character sees a drag marks to a hatch that is a pen for feeding alligators, and he finds body parts in there. A bunch of other shit. There's as he's during the present, he sees that there's an explosion in the building. There's an ambulance that's on its roof, smoldering, but they don't see any of this. So he knows that obviously it happened after the fact. He then feels guilty because essentially he killed his partner. But due to the fact that a little bit I skipped earlier, he sees his partner's car when he goes and talks to him the first time before they recruit him for this mission or for this task force. And they tell him that all those cars are from victims that were on the boat at the time of, so which means his partner is most likely on the boat, meaning he's dead, because they have yet to find his body and he's not surviving. So then when the note happens, he realizes that, oh, even if his partner was dead before, now he's in a dead and a different way. And he feels very bad about it. The people feel very bad about it because they all kind of believe that they led him to his death, even though technically in their timeline, he was already dead. So, they're frantically trying to figure things out. They're trying to find him. They finally identify who he is. So they know who he is. They just have to track him down. In doing so, they do capture him because of the link between the property they were at, which he actually owns, where the alligators were, and another place. They go there. They don't find him. So there's cameras and someone tells him where he's at. They have an airboat chase. They capture him. Denzel gets to interrogate him. During the interrogation, he spouts off all this patriotic talk about how, you know, he did this to prove a point and that he's a true patriot and that civilian lives have to be sacrificed for their greater good, blah, 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 a bunch of nutty shit. And Denzel's losing his fucking mind at this point. So he talks to Bruce Greenwood shuts down the project because they have their man, but Denzel can't let it go. He needs to save this girl somehow, or at least get some closure on it. because they're going to try him as the bomber, but not as her murder, because the only way they know about the murder is the whole time travel thing. So they don't want to let that be known. So they're going to kind of scoop it under the carpet, as they say. I realize it's sweep under the carpet. That's okay. From there, he convinces Adam Goldberg's character, Dr. Alexander Denny, to do something a little drastic. Part of the whole time travel thing is, yes, they can only go back so far with the amount of power they can push, but they all they do is view. They don't actually interact. The note took very long amount of power. They actually shut down the power grid when it went off. And so he says, what happens if we try human? Earlier in the movie, they tell him that any organic life gets killed because of the disruption of electrons and everything. Essentially, the EMP they go through, shutting off electrical signals to the brain and killing the person or the object going back, the living creature. Well, he says, what happens if we do this properly, you send me back somewhere they can revive me. So they pick a hospital that's within the area, send his ass back. They find him having a seizure right outside of a operating room. They cut open his shirt and they written on his chest is revive me, which I think is really weird. They do revive him. He then wakes up in a hospital bed where he then sneaks out, stealing his neighbor's plant as well as clothes, takes a gun from a security guard, steals an ambulance, goes after Jim Caviezel's character, Carol, at his before he has a chance to set the bomb off because it's the morning of Fat Tuesday. Gets there in time because he's about to burn Claire's body. When she, the reason her fingers are cut off is because she broke loose of her restraints and scratched his face, which means there's DNA, which means they find the body, they find the DNA, it's going to link to him. So he's getting ready to cut her fingers off with gardening shears when Denzel plows the ambulance he stole, remember the ambulance, through the wall. There's a gunshot, some gunfire. Jim Caviezel gets Denzel Washington in the shoulder, but gets outside, sets up an explosion, makes an explosion happen, which then causes fire. Denzel grabs Claire, who's still tied up, drags her outside before the explosion goes off. You see the eruption. The ambulance actually goes up in the air, flips over, and lands back on its top inside the wrecked building, which happens to be the one that he saw from the future. And remember, because they have to watch in real time, so he pinpoints the time and goes back directly there, because it's 4 days, 6 hours, 3 minutes, 45 seconds, 14.5 nanoseconds that they can go back, but again, they can't rewind. So they just push him to the closest time, which is what they're watching, which is the time. So he races there, saves her. Jim Caviezel runs off or drives away with the thinking they're both dead, drives away in the vehicle he stole from Claire, the reason Claire's involved in this, with the bombs on it, headed to the dock. Well, they go back to her place where she gets cleaned up. There's a whole time travel paradox thing going on because she doesn't believe who he is because he keeps knowing stuff that he shouldn't know, A, where she lives without her telling him, that she has this blue and white dress that she should wear instead of the red and white one because that's the one they found her in. So they that's when they make the phone call to the precinct where she asks what he looks like, where one of the guys that works there describes him as about 6'3", black, and fairly handsome. Well, she is staring at him. She's like, holy shit. Well, then she helps him patch himself up. They get ready to go. The phone rings. He goes, don't pick it up. Listen, it's your best friend, Beth. And he recites what she's going to say back to her. She picks it up, and it's the message you hear on the answering machine. She says, is this some kind of joke? I can't talk to someone here. So that leads to the voice messages. The one is that was waiting for him to call her back. And of course, the best friend calling, that was proof, all happened in there, continuing on. So everything's kind of going along way as before. So they get to the ferry. They see him leaving. They plan, basically, Denzel is going to get on board, try to disarm the bomber, get it off somehow. And then she's going to tell the authorities, and they're going to go after Jim Caviezel's character, Carol. But he sees his beat up, shot up Bronco, or Blazer, and he goes back on the boat because he believes that they're there. She sees him go back on. Instead of telling the cops, she jumps back on board the boat as it's drifting away. Jim Caviezel captures her, ties her up, puts her in the cab of the Bronco, I believe it is, or Explorer, I can't remember which they use for her vehicle that he stole. They use for the bomb. And then Denzel has to find his way down there. There's a slight gunfight going on. He pulls out and starts killing security guards and soldiers that are coming down to stop him because of the gunfire. Then starts to basically Denzel distracts him with the line that he gave him earlier in the previously in the interrogation. So he's confused, like why he knows this, and then he's about to shoot him. Denzel tricks him by making things his gun's empty, but he has one in the chamber. Claire, who is stuck behind the steering wheel, which is an inconvenient place, but it's really the only place you can really tie someone to inside a vehicle for the most part. Guns it, smashes him between a tow truck and that vehicle, pinning him there. Denzel takes a chance to shoot him in the head, kills him. Jim Caviezel's character is dead. Now they have to try to figure out how to get the bomb off. Well, they're trying to, and the security guards show up and they're going to shoot him. So they decide to jump the vehicle off the boat, getting it away from the people because they can't disarm it. The boat then runs over the vehicle as it's underwater, putting it underneath. He gets her out but gets trapped inside the cab as a boat goes past the car. Of course, it explodes, killing him inside. She is distraught. She's picked up by the Coast Guard. And then the ferry goes back to the dock, unloads everybody, and now everybody except for a few security guards are alive. So, crisis averted. Denzel's character, the one that came back, has passed away. But Claire is told that there's someone coming down to take a statement from her. It just happens to be an ATF agent by the name of Douglas Carlin, played by Denzel Washington. They meet. He asks, "How do you know? Have we met before?" She says, "Yes, in a way." And there's a little bit of deja vu where he hears this song that's playing, the same one that was playing during the bomb going right before the bomb went off, and he has a slight moment of deja vu and she realizes it, and the movie ends. There you go. That's your time travel movie known as Deja Vu. Really fun movie. Not very confusing, but like I said, very unconventional. It's not one of those, it's very much like Looper where the time travel is essentially one way and it's not a wide known thing, obviously, and used in a special way for special things. So kind of cool. So that's it for for the time travel movie. Next week, I will be watching a movie called Synchronicity. I might have said that last week, but I really wanted to watch Deja Vu, and I think I forgot about watching Synchronicity. So if I told you that last week, again, this week I'm telling you Synchronicity. It's the only last movie I have picked out, so I'll be watching that next week and talking about it. It's an unconditional time travel movie. Much like Looper, or much like Primer, which is the first movie we talk about this month. But we'll talk about that next week. So if you want to watch it ahead of time, it's available, I think, almost everywhere. It's Synchronicity is the name of it. A bunch of cast members you're not going to really recognize by name, so I'm not going to tell you any of them. But check it out. Watch it if you want before. Otherwise, listen again next week while I explain that. For the stuff that I'm reading this week, I finished the fourth book of the Space Team series. I was going to start the fifth one, but some complications happened. I didn't really start it, but that's okay. I'll be listening to it and reading it as I go. But for comic book wise, I got Mark Miller's new series through Image, that's actually an imprint from Netflix, called The Magic Order. Which I think is, hold on, I think it's in front of me. Did I move it? Excuse the noise while I fiddle through this nonsense. No, it's in the other stack. I did because I read it and I moved it. It's an interesting story. I don't want to ruin it for you because there's some cool stuff in it, but you should check it out. If you've listened to this podcast before, or even the main podcast with the guys, I'm a really big Mark Miller fan. That's Mark Miller, M-I-L-L-A-R. He's Scottish. He says it even though it's, most people know it's Millar, it's actually pronounced Miller. I don't know why. That's just what he says. So I say I pronounce the way he says because he's an awesome dude and his brain works in crazy ways. But anyways, so I read that. That's a pretty cool one. Again, I don't want to spoil it for you. It just came out last week, which I should have known it wasn't in front of me because this is not last week's books. Last week's books are in the, hey, you're going to read these pile. Not in the, hey, you read most of these pile. So that's what I've been reading this week. Not too much. I've been really busy with other stuff. But that doesn't matter. I had time to watch the movie and record a podcast about it, and you just listened to it. So that's week. That's all for this week's episode of The Awesome Cody. Again, I am Cody. We were talking about Deja Vu, starring Denzel Washington, directed by the late, great Tony Scott. So that's it for this week's episode, everybody. Remember, let's be awesome.